precious word you have, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Living for Jesus. So what we see in this chapter is the effects of the gospel upon our lives, that we really do. We really do live for Jesus. When he saves us, when he rescues us, when he redeems us. Mom, Rob, you got your new Bible, it looks like. Did you get your new Bible? How about that? I understand. Yeah. Nothing like having a Bible in your lap. Amen. I'm one of those. I ain't no telling how many Bibles I have. And I pick up and look at, but I always just seem to go back to them old Bibles, you know, that you've learned in and been in so many times. They just got a good feel to them. You know where things are in them. You get used to it. You it's your Bible. I tell Stephanie all the time that my Bible is the Bible, you know. And so 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 1. The apostle says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all what I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then all the apostles, and that last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Father, we thank you. Thank you for the precious word, the truth, the living truth that we have to be able to indulge ourselves in, to consume and feed upon. Thank you for its clarity. Thank you for the conviction that it brings upon our heart. Thank you for such pointed words that transform the sinner into saints, that changes the weary in the warriors. And we just going to give you the glory and the praise today and ask you to speak to us, ask you to teach us, ask you to give us that which is outside of us, that which is needful for man today. We pray that you would give us great understanding of your truth, and that you would light a flame within our heart to be proclaimers, preachers, those who declare the gospel and believe it with all our heart. We love you. I thank you so much. Help me, your servant today, do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this, I think this is a very clear, pointed passage of Scripture that helps us with numerous things, but we can look at it as we start in verse number 1, where he says, "Moreover," he's taking us in deeper of understanding of what he's already been talking about. He's carrying some things over. And tonight when we gather together, I think we're going to look at chapter 12, 13, and 14. Not every detail of it, but the process that we find in that as Paul is helping this church at Corinth. And he says, "Brother, now I declare, I proclaim to you, again, the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and where you stand." He's proclaiming the gospel to them, which he is going to make a point about, that they had received, they're standing in it, and that they're saved by it. But he goes on to say, in which we're going to look at for a moment, if you look in verse number 2, where he says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. So Paul is making a great qualification here. He is saying that if you had believed, if you have received, you will be standing and you will have kept in memory the message of the gospel unless you believed in vain. And if you believed in vain, none of these things matter to you. They're not the essence and what's essential to your life. So what does he mean when he says that you receive this gospel, this message of good news? Well, the word itself, the word receive, is a compound word to mean to take something and bring it near to you. It comes from the word para, which would be in association with or to be identified with, and the word to take hold of something for yourself. So Paul is saying, when I preach this gospel, this good news, this good message to you, you took it and you brought it near to yourself and you made it your own. It become your own. You received it as your own message so that you would be associated with or identified with the gospel. Now, that unless they had believed in vain. Because if they had believed in vain, yes, they would have believed what was spoken, but they would not have taken it as their very own message for life. It wouldn't be what the Bible says, the power of God unto salvation unto them, for the righteousness of God revealed to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I like the picture that these words paint for us. I like studying the words. Y'all figure that out already. And when I teach and preach, I like talking about these words. But the idea of taking this gospel and bringing it near to you so that this primary reason, so that you can be identified by it. It's kind of like people today who are identified. If I was to mention the word, let's say, how many of you know of Glenn Beck? Glenn Beck makes it pretty clear he's identified with a particular political message, right? Beyond question, you know somewhat where he stands from a political standpoint. Let's say if I mention Sarah Palin. Anybody ever heard of Sarah Palin? You've heard of these renegade people who take a stand or identify themselves with a particular political point of view. You don't have to wonder what their viewpoint is. It may not always be clear to you and me, but you know they're on this side right here. Because they've taken a particular message and they made it personal to themselves and they identify with that. Well, this is the same idea, but it comes to the gospel. That those that know you, those that know me, those that know us should know without any hesitation whatsoever that we have taken the gospel, we have brought it near to ourselves, we have received it, and we are identified and associated with the good message of Jesus without any question whatsoever. Nothing veiled here. Paul is saying that I declare to you that message that you identified yourself with, that you are associated with, so much as the same message that now you are standing in. Now, what does that mean? The word stand has the idea of you have taken refuge. Have you ever seen where, in our modern culture, you see this on a regular basis, people find themselves in a hostage situation? You ever seen that on news when, wasn't long ago, there was a hostage situation over here in Alabama? Y'all remember seeing that a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago? There was a guy that had some trouble and he got in the house and he barricaded himself in there. He got locked down in there and they had a standoff. The police were outside and y'all have seen standoffs before. Well, the word stand here has the same idea that you have taken and found refuge in a stronghold.
And that stronghold is your defense mechanism. You're in it because you feel safe in it. You feel like if you get out of it, you don't want to get out of it because you're going to expose yourself and you're going to be vulnerable to that which is trying to attack you. So you are laid up in a refuge and inside of a stronghold, and it is what's protecting you at the current moment. So Paul is saying this, it's the message that you brought near to be identified with, but it's the same message that surrounds your life that you are standing in, standing on, you are positioned in it, and that you're not coming out of it because this is where you find refuge in the gospel. It's a good picture, isn't it? Because that's what the gospel does. The gospel, when God saves a man like myself, a lady like you, when he saves us, he brings us to a place that we take a hold of his message. That which we once were anti-against. That which we once were hostile to. That which we once was an offense to us. That which was appalling to us that, yes, it's a good thing that you're involved in this, and it's a good thing for the church, but man, I'm not going fundamental and radical and taking a refuge that this is what surrounds my life, that I become what I believe in the gospel. At one time, we were hostile to that way of thinking. Oh, but when you receive it, when you take it near to be identified with it, when you believe it, and God saves you, the gospel becomes your refuge, and you take hiding in it, and you'll stand strong in it because you know your life is surrounded by it because you've taken it to yourself to be identified with it. Thank God for his saving grace. Amen. Because as Paul said, as we read in verse 10, he said, folks, I don't deserve to be what I am, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I am saved. I have taken it near. I do stand in it as a refuge because of God's grace. It's not something I've done independently and privately and all on my own. I didn't come up with this on my own. But the grace of God brought me to a place where I realized, as the song said, when I saw the love of Jesus, it constrained me. I couldn't help but realize who I am in him, and that love has compelled me now. It's changed me, and I find comfort in the precious good news of Jesus. And then he goes on even a step further, and he says, verse 2, by which, we're still talking about the gospel, the good message, by which also you're saved. You're secure, you're safe by this gospel. And the word by means through the gospel, which also you are saved. And we know the essence of the gospel is a person, and his name is Jesus. So through Jesus, you are saved. If, notice this condition, that is to say, this conditional phrase here, that is to say, in connection with the message he preached, in the connection with receiving and standing, and the connection with being saved, if you what? Keep in memory which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What does it mean to keep in memory? How many of you think you got a bad memory? You forget? Do you think you got a bad memory? Well, I want to tell you what. You may have a bad memory. But there's something so unique and so powerful and so gracious and so amazing when it comes to the salvation of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's something you won't forget. It's something that you won't put aside. Matter of fact, it's something that you will take possession of and hold it down. Not so that you can keep it unto yourself, but that you don't release it or let it go. You keep it because it's a treasure. It's something of great value to you. So you will take possession of it. You'll put your grip upon it and hold on to it so that it won't never escape you, that you belong to him. Amen? So he's saying, look, if you haven't possessed the gospel as your very own, that you've identified with it, that you've made it your stronghold, that you've been delivered and saved from your sins, and therefore you are now a servant of God who's been subdued by him, Paul is saying, look, you don't belong to him. But if these things characteristically would characterize your life, you're his. And all I'm doing is declaring that same good news I preached to you when you first were saved. It's just as good as today as it was yesterday, because it's the salvation of the Lord Jesus. And when you're his and he saved you and delivered you, you will take possession of that good news. You will build your stronghold. You will identify with him in it, and you're not going to let it escape. It's going to be something that you preach to yourself on a daily basis. The good news, the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Because it always just reminds us of the grace of God. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. When I was saved, I didn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. In the process of sanctification, and when Jesus come back to get me, I don't earn it, and I don't preserve it. I'm preserved and saved strictly and solely by his grace. It's him, amen? So it reminds me that I'm not going to do anything on my own. I can't do anything on my own. I have to be intimately connected and desirous and dependent upon him and his grace to work through me. So I keep reminding myself of the gracious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And it just stays fresh on my mind every day. And I can be thankful. I can be kind. I can be merciful. I can be loving. I can bless people and pray for people. Why? Because the gospel is possessed by me. I own it. It's mine. And because it is mine, it transforms my everyday life for the glory of God. It's the power of the gospel, amen? Amen? It's the effects of it. Well, what's the essentials of the gospel? And I believe this is what he's going to get into as we look at the next verses. He's going to explain to us what he said he's going to declare, which we believe, which we own, which we find refuge in. He says, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How that Christ, or the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the righteous one, he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Amen? It's pretty clear, isn't it? The word Christ means Old Testament word. We would find the Old Testament saying, talking about the Messiah. New Testament language, the Christ. Both New Testament, Old Testament mentality means the anointed one. And the anointed one is the one for whom had the anointing of God upon his life for specific reason, for a specific purpose, for approval and acceptance to do a specific work. And the work that Jesus was anointed for was to die for our sins. And the word "for" means on behalf of. On behalf of our sins. And it is in perfect harmony of what God's been proclaiming from the foundation of the world. It's according to the scriptures. God's been foretelling of his anointed one, of his Messiah, of the righteous one. The Christ, the living God himself, would come to this earth and he would lay his life down and he would give his life on behalf of our sins. A debt that we couldn't pay, a debt that we owed, a debt that must be justified, a debt that must be paid in full. And the only one that could ever pay that debt was the Christ, the anointed one, who made atonement for our sins. Well, let's look at a few passages in the Old Testament that help us see the harmony. The word "according to the scriptures" means in harmony with the scriptures. It's right in line with what the scriptures have been saying. Turn to Psalm 22. Let's just read it for a moment. Y'all don't mind reading the word, do you? I'll read it. You read along with me. Psalm 22. Read with me. If you're there, say amen. My God, my God. Sound familiar? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? When did Jesus say that? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabiteth the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighteth in him. That sound familiar to you? When did this happen to Jesus? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravaging and roaring lion, and I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, and I may tell all my bones, and they took and they and store upon me. They parted my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me and deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet they that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, and glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the afflicted of the afflicted, nor neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And my praise shall be of thee and thy great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever, and all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him. Thank God, that's me, amen. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. And seed shall serve him, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. That's about Jesus, amen. He died in harmony or in line with what the Scripture said he would do. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We're reading the gospel, aren't we? We're reading the gospel. The good news of the anointed one, the righteous one who died for our sins. Verse 1 of Isaiah 53, who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he hath numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It's the gospel, folks. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Jesus died for our sins. Psalm 16, verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. For the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." It's the gospel. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And on the third day, he came out of that grave. Amen? According to what? According to the Scriptures. In perfect harmony with God had been telling men from the beginning of time, that his righteous one, the Holy One, the anointed one, his Messiah, the Christ, would come on behalf of men, die for their sins, and he would validate his death
when he raises him out of the grave and his body would not see corruption in the soul of the earth. And to God be the glory. Amen. That is a message that those that belong to him, that have received it, that have taken possession of it as their own, they hold it down, that they can't release it from their memory, their mind, that it is theirs. They make every effort to recall it, to think on it, to preach it to themselves, to preach it to others. They find refuge in it because they've been saved through it. To God be the glory. Amen. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Have you made it your refuge? Is it your stronghold? Have you surrounded your life with the gospel, the good news? Do you possess it as your own? Are you identified with it, that those that work with you, serve with you, live with you, that know you, do they know without a doubt that the gospel is your lifeline for everyday living, because you identified with Jesus? And if they ask you to tell them why you are who you are, you could simply tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus. If you are, praise him. Amen. Amen. Say as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Now let that grace work in you so that you'll labor more than anybody else. But not you, the grace of God in you. Living for Jesus. Isn't it a wonderful thought that he would love such a worm as you and I? But his cross is a demonstration. It's a settled fact that if he'll love us while we was enemies, while we were hostile, while we were rebellious, how much the more now that we are his child, been conquered and subdued by his grace, made subject to the king and his kingdom. To God be the glory. Amen. Now, if you don't belong to him, call out on him today. Give your sins to him. Trust him in faith. Let him set you free. Stand with me if you would. Father, we bless